Hey ho! Been a while. What's up, Roman?
We are back.
We're back. It's been ages.
We're
Really
back with a
ages.
cold.
Yeah, I hear it. How are you feeling,
Right in
buddy?
time. Right in time for cold season.
Cold season, flu season, COVID season, and Thanksgiving season, all that. And performance season. That's what I've learned also today.
And firing season,
Firing season, yeah.
layoff
Layoff
season.
season. I hope that we've heard the end of all these terrible, terrible layoffs. There have been way too many, and they've hit hard. They've hit the industry really hard. And I was lucky enough during this time to actually get fired and get hired. It's funny. Last time we talked, I was interviewing here and there.
Yes.
And since then, I've started my new gig.
Yes, tell us all about it. We're all excited for you.
All our seven listeners are really excited to hear that I am now an employee of Builder.io. I am going to do developer experience there, meaning I'm going to do content and shit like that and talk to people like I'm doing here and write posts, try and do videos, all that fun stuff. Try and get the word out about Builder and the product and Quick and Mitosis and Party Town. So really cool tech behind like this company. And I'm so lucky to be working with awesome dudes. Like dudes, I like you saw that post. We just published a post, and I wrote a post with Mishko Hivary, yeah, our CTO.
Is it
And
all dudes?
well, the company all dudes? No, dudes and dudettes. Excuse me, you're right. No, we got
Oh,
some.
but it's like a small company, isn't it? Like seven people?
No. We're around 40-ish.
40?
Yeah,
40?
four.
Wow.
Yeah.
I had no idea.
Yeah, well, it was news to me when I kind of started off too, obviously. Yeah. It's starting to be some sort of machine,
That's
right? Like
awesome. All around the world.
all around the world, fully remote. Most of the peeps are like US based, East Coast, West Coast, spread out. Some Europe, some India, global, man. Globalism and all that fun stuff. A really
So
cool.
do you want to slash are able to discuss the hiring process? Like, how
Well,
was it? What'd you think about it?
I guess I can. I don't think that there's anything too confidential about what I've been through, but my kind of way. I'm guessing it wasn't like a complete set process. Like again, it's a startup, right? They're moving pretty fast. It's funny. It's so the story behind it is basically I put out a tweet, right? I'm out of Fiverr, so what's up? Like, hit me. And Steve Siwo, now my boss, reached out to me on Twitter, DM'd me, and said, like, listen, we might have some opportunity for you at Builder. And at first, there was thoughts of me kind of taking a role of perhaps a solution architect, but that quickly kind of we understood that was not a good fit for me. But Steve was really adamant about finding like something for me. And then he thought, okay, like we really got to put our gas on like content and dev reling and developer experience and how we start to get more content out there. So he kind of said, okay, this is more what I want you to do. Let's see how we work it out. And it basically was mostly conversations with people in the company and understanding what exactly it is, the touch points I'm going to have, who I'm going to be in touch with, who I'm going to work with and brainstorm about all the ideas that we're having. And in terms of like something to test me was a blog post I wrote, which I then published on my own site. which was the connecting builder to Astro, which was a fun kind of thing to do. Yeah, but in terms of like, they knew what I've been doing, and they've been following me, like either on Twitter or read my stuff here and there. So they knew what I was capable of. They also knew me as a customer because I've been using Builder, like to build the last product they worked on. And in terms of the technical questions, it was more technical conversations. So I got a chance to talk to one of our engineering managers, Corey. We basically just talked tech. It was like, tell me a little bit about like stuff, interesting, complex stuff you encountered. So I got a chance to just, say the stuff, tell them about our whole fun thing that we had with Twin Macro and Tailwind, deep dive until what we did, like what I did with the Mongoose and MongoDB and how that was a headache. So yeah, that and what I really loved about it was that it was a conversation. Like when people
Yeah.
are good enough, or you understand that they know their shit, it's good enough to just talk to them, understand like
Right.
what who
That's
what was
it.
the situation. Yeah.
That's interesting because when we talked about it last time, you said that like you think this can be done with just a conversation. I said that like I don't think that you can know everything you need just from a conversation. So I guess like this is good like validation that the pros can do it, this way,
Right. I know of a few engineers that will just not like if they're asked to do any sort of technical interview process or step, and it's like a take-home test or even come on and write code live, they just say no, dude. Like, here's my credentials. Go check out my GitHub repo. Like, you want me, come and just give me an offer. And it's not like being, what's the word I'm looking for, full of yourself or like pompous. It's about like, we've done enough shit to kind of get a baseline to what it is we do, I guess. But then again, a
Yeah.
lot of people that when they're interviewing, they kind of want to get a feel to how someone thinks, or just know he can write code, because anybody can write anything right on their resume. I've been doing whatever, the full stack architectures and whatnot for
Yeah.
the past 20 years, because I came across that.
That's why it's difficult 'cause like I don't know, I feel like a lot of people can talk tech, all you need to do is like be on Twitter, and but like it's a different, I mean, let me rephrase. Not a lot of people can talk tech, okay? Like at a high level. But I'm saying that like even if you can talk tech at a high level, I still feel like there can be like a disconnect or there can be like a gap between like what you can talk about and what you can actually, I don't know, like
Convey the
what.
message, how you
No,
show what you know.
I'm not saying, I'm saying that like there can be a disconnect between how you actually apply those things on the day to day, I can talk to you about like design patterns and whatever, right? And like challenges and blah blah blah, but like who knows? I'll know how to apply those principles to a problem when I'm actually faced with it. That's why I always thought that like I can learn way more about a candidate from seeing how he writes code than like whatever, like hours of conversation,
Right, I see your point on one hand, but then again, I don't think someone, if you ask him the right questions, right, if you're kind of talking about design patterns and you go diving deep into the subject in terms of conversation and kind of ask him how he would implement it, and he can explain himself well enough with words, I think that shows an understanding, right? If he can teach you,
Right.
I think that is a good enough indication, right?
No, I do agree. I do agree. I just haven't, I guess I haven't really experienced that in interviewing people. But then again, I haven't really ever interviewed people that are like very experienced or at a high level.
Yeah, because I have a different story, like the other way around, right? Someone that had a lot of experience on his CV on one hand, but when I had a conversation with him, it was like miles away from what's written down on his CV than what the real world is. When I started asking him, just trying to make conversation about tech and about like latest things he's been using or patterns or stuff, like they had no understanding of it. And then I was like, well, are you really sure that you're interviewing for a senior developer? Now, I wasn't trying to be a dick about it, right? But it was just, there was a big gap between what was written on paper and what was like the fact in real life. So then I didn't even feel the need to kind of, then I did feel the need to test his knowledge, like in code, right? And, but I already had an indication that it was probably not going to go that well. And obviously it was, again, a waste of time, because as soon as we dug down deep, it was there. Ugh, I'm sorry.
Gotcha.
Yeah, the Discord here is jumping and making all kinds of sound. It's amazing. Like, I put my Mac on Do Not Disturb and I still get notifications. What's going on? That's
Max
annoying.
sucks, dude.
Okay. Come on, vent, vent, man.
I still prefer Windows, gotta be honest. After all these years, I still prefer Windows. I can't
Yeah.
really put, like, there are some things I can put my finger on, like the file management, like that Finder thing is like terrible in my mind.
I will agree with you on that one. The Finder is not amazing, but other than that, if someone is going to make me use Windows, I'm going to barf on them.
One thing I can't go back to is like not having like Alfred or Raycast or something like that.
Yeah.
That's like a thing I can't live without at this point.
Yeah, dude, Raycast has changed. Like, it's amazing. Like, it's just so much better than Alfred in terms of UI and UX, you know?
Yeah,
Like,
you
Alfred, it
know
was
the
awesome. I bought Alfred. I bought a power pack, like a life license.
Me
But
too.
then someone told me about like Raycast, you got to try this. And I just installed it. And I am not looking back. I'm not looking back.
I haven't tried it yet, but I know the guy that made Radix and Stitches, Pedro,
Yeah.
just joined the team at Raycast.
Oh, really? Because he was
Yeah,
doing like he was doing crypto shit or something. He was in
yeah,
modules.
like he was in Modules, then I think they got acquired and he left. I think he was at like Rainbow or something like that. But yeah, I saw on Twitter that he joined
Oh.
Raycast, which is cool.
Good for him. They're
Dude,
lucky to have him. He's really good.
Radix is so ridiculously good. It's ridiculous. Dude, it's like, listen, like I love Tailwind Labs. I love everything that they do. But headless UI is like a child's toy in comparison to Radix. Really, it's like
Interesting.
it's not even comparable. Forget about, I mean, first of all, it's like a huge gap between the amount of components that they give you, but each component, the API is built, it is so well suited for design systems. It's built, it's like sometimes you look at it and you're like, why did they do it like that? And then you play around with it or you test it out in the wild and you get it. You only with like experience you understand the design choices, and they are like brilliant.
Right.
Some
The
like
composability of it, they're really.
everything,
Yeah.
how they export their components, how they export the props, how components work together with one another. I was always like skeptical about the whole like no render props thing. Right? Or they don't, they also don't have like an as prop, right? They have an as child prop.
Right.
Which is so much better. It's like so much better. And like in the whole like using data properties instead of like render props is so much better. It's like just like how after like having like deep experience with like building a design system on top of it, I realized all of these things. It's just like brilliant. My only beef with it is that they don't have a fucking combo box. I'm forced to use the combo box from Headless UI. And it is, although, I mean, although it accomplishes the mission, okay, which is, you know, by itself, a very, 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 very difficult feat. But it is not great by, you know, any measure. It's like not great. It works, but it's not great, right?
Yeah. And then you try like downshift by Kent C dot.
Dude. I've been down every rabbit hole you can, you know, possibly name. I'm talking downshift. I'm talking React Aria. I'm talking like
React Select.
Like even React Select. I've been down every rabbit hole imaginable with this combo box thing. And the only thing that was relatively manageable was Headless UI. Everything else was like a huge kerfuffle. It was like not, I mean, either with downshift, for example, you have to pass in like an array of items.
Yeah.
Right? Which I don't want to do. Okay. I don't like, I want to have like composable components, right? I don't want to pass in an array of items. There's like a deal breaker for every solution, right? Like React Aria doesn't support like multi-select. Like if you need a multi-select combo box, right? That's like that you can, you know, build a design system on top of and like export from your like own component library to have other developers like consume. Headless UI is like the only option, and it is not good. Like the TypeScript story is not good. They don't export their props. It's a mess, but it works, right?
Right.
It does work. But so that's basically my only beef with Radix. Other than that, and you know what else drives me crazy about like Headless UI? They don't fucking put it in a portal.
Okay.
They don't like the menu. They don't put it in a portal. You need to do all that shit by yourself.
In Radix? No, you can choose to portal.
No, not in Radix. In Headless UI.
Oh, in Headless UI.
Radix do it for you, and they use Popper, aka floating UI, under the hood. Headless UI is like this is like a styling thing. We don't do anything with it, and I had to like implement. Like use you know Popper.js myself.
Oh shit!
On top of it, I'm like, dude, this is like not. And like you can say that like it's better, it's easier to use Tailwind with, but it's not true. Now with Tailwind 3.2, where you I don't know if you read up on it, but you can have like these, like you can target these like data attributes. First class, right?
Yeah, I did read about it. I actually implemented it, just added it as a plugin, like to target specific stuff for Radix, right?
I think
we did that together.
Yeah, me too. I mean, even with this project, I did it by myself. Then they released the data thing, and I was like, delete all that shit that I did like by hand and use the so currently Headless UI is not even easier to style with Tailwind. It's like this the same level. It might even be harder to, well, let me back up on that because I just remember that they have that Headless UI plugin. So you don't have to use the render prop. You can do like UI, like UI hyphen open, whatever. So let's say it's the same level of difficulty to style, right? So in that sense, like headless UI doesn't even have an advantage in like on in like any other like perspective. Headless UI like Radix is just like so much better. It's like
No, it's
they have
well thought
every,
out.
oh my God, dude, like everything. You know they had like
Container.
a scroll area
Yeah.
component. Dude,
Yeah.
it's like that's brilliant. How many years have we like said to designers, no, there's really nothing I can do about the page jumping around every time. Like there's nothing I can do about that. That's like just the browser. Or like, no, we can't really scroll, we can't really style the scroll bar because like the browser support's not really there. Blah blah blah. We've been saying that shit to designers for years,
Right, but
and
CSS has come a long way since.
yeah, but I'm saying like Radix just came along with this. Oh, you know what? Let's just solve it like this way. Have like a scroll bar that's positioned. Absolutely, you can fucking style it. It's composable, dude. Everything. They have like a visually hidden component that is like super useful for tests. They have like everything. They have like a fucking slider, that like
Yeah.
nobody has. They're working on a carousel.
Cool.
Just like they have like a, oh, you know what else I use? It's like not very common. They have like these toggle buttons. I just used to build like a rich text editor. So they have like a toggle group thing, which is like, exactly built for like rich text editors, basically.
Yeah.
Dude, I can't, so satisfied with Maddox.
Someone's having an orgasm.
Oh my God, dude, I am drinking that Kool-Aid, let me tell you.
Yeah, I'm happy for you, man. No, I was with my eyes on Radix and a user since, like, I think it was still an alpha when I started using it.
Yeah,
I know.
I think you introduced me to it.
Yeah, you were like,
I
what the
don't
fuck
think,
is this thing? What is this, Radix?
yeah.
Why are we using like headless UI? What is this?
Exactly. I was like, I didn't even know about it. I'm so happy with it though.
Yeah,
But
that's pretty
still,
cool.
like the funny thing is that I think that headless UI is like still like at this point way more popular. Let's say like 5, 6 times.
Yeah, I haven't checked the numbers on that, but interesting to check. But you know what's more interesting to me?
Yeah.
That we've been doing like combo boxes have existed for 20, 30 years now, and it's still not a solved problem. You know, there's so many
Dude.
implementations and there's no right way to do it. Although, if you go and use just straight up HTML, you know, with the autocomplete on, what is it? I don't remember the exact like attributes you need to put it on. But if you have your options on the side, right, and you build it like with the select and options and give like the autocomplete on, you're pretty good to go. No, I haven't checked in a while, but that is a
Are you
combo
talking
box.
about like input type search?
Yeah.
I don't think it gives you, it doesn't give you like an options box. It's just like the input.
No, but there is a way to kind of have a list of a drop down list, right? So, what is a combo box? Let's just define it for a minute, right? You have an
I
input,
mean,
you
you
search,
can.
and you search through items, right? You're not, we're talking about the simplest thing, right? List of items, input box. Type in, get the options kind of reduced to what you're looking for. That works in just plain HTML.
You can do basically like a list box that you can search in. You
Yes.
can use like you can use like the select with the multiple prop, and then have like a
You
search
mean attributes?
in
HTML is attribute.
attribute.
Prop is for you, reactive.
Yes, attribute, you are correct. And then have like a search input above it, but that would be like a composition that you need to do by yourself, right? And you need to like do the filtering and like loop over the options.
Right.
You would have to compose that yourself. There's nothing like off the shelf.
I wonder though, if there is a solution that's like, if somebody's written anything that is close to it with web components or just straight up like HTML and JavaScript that is pretty simple to port over. I don't know.
Dude,
It's like, why isn't
well,
this
let me.
solved already?
I've,
Why haven't web components delivered on the promise? Somebody has supposed to have written a freaking combo box that everybody could use. You know what I mean?
I've been down that rabbit hole also with this project. That's how we started off. We started off with like an input and a select. We were like, let's like do the most simple thing imaginable, but eventually like the UX is just like not there, right? It's like not. But can I just rant real quick about
This is your place to rant, Roman. This is a safe zone.
like,
This is a safe
because
zone to
I
rant.
like
Yeah,
I don't
go ahead.
know I don't know who, and I would love it if like anybody corrects me, but if I understand correctly, everybody gets the whole combo box, list box, menu button differences wrong. Okay.
What do you mean? Explain yourself, please.
So let me, I'm going to share my screen, which obviously the listener doesn't see, but maybe it will help us have like a better conversation on this topic because it is complicated. And this might be the first podcast episode ever that makes order, does, how do you say it? Makes order or does order or orders, or how do you
Or
say it?
tries to sort out this
Tries
subject.
to sort out this kerfuffle. Okay,
Kerf
so
kerf kerfuffle.
kerfuffle, that's what I said.
You said
You
carfuffle.
see my screen?
Yeah, I see your screen.
Car falafel.
Carfalawful. Let's do the carfalawful.
Okay, so we are looking at the Why ARIA Authoring Practices Guide, which is to me like the Bible. I think like any programmer, any like UI programmer, and any designer for the web needs to read this document, bot like top to
Top to
bottom,
bottom.
and know it, out of their sleep, because it is wonderful. And they did, for the listener and the user, we'll drop a link maybe in the show notes.
Definitely.
They did like a huge redesign. This is way more like
Yeah, I
friendly.
know.
This was a lot more technical beforehand.
It used to look like a spec. It looks pretty nice now.
Yeah, it looks
So for
really
our
nice.
listeners, it's now we got some cards that actually kind of describe every like different UI component. So we got accordion here,
Yes,
sections which show
yes.
hide. We got the alert and messages. We got breadcrumbs, buttons, combo box,
Right,
checkbox,
right.
dialogue, all that fun stuff.
Right. So the confusion is with three different patterns, right? Combo box pattern, which you see here, the list box pattern, and the menu button pattern. Okay? Essentially, according to this spec, and again, I might be wrong, but that's my understanding. According to this spec, there is no like, if you have an input, right, and a box of options, that is always a combo box, right? And there are variations of this pattern. So, for example, you can see here in the examples, you can have a select only combo box, right? Meaning like a
Meaning you have
single
a list of
select.
options and you just choose from the options underneath without having like no
Right, but
text
like
input, right?
this is like the thing that people don't understand. it doesn't have to be an input you can type into in order to be a combo box, right? If you have a trigger, right, and you that holds the value, the selected value, and a list of like a box of options that gets triggered, right? That's a combo box. It can be with an input, what you would call like an autocomplete or whatever, or it could be without. It could be with a single select. It could be with a multi-select, right?
Right.
There are different
It could
options here.
be a select with the radio buttons inside that you choose from also.
What do you mean?
Well, for example, like a multi-select that has actually radio buttons inside of it, right? Under this definition,
No.
single select combo box with no text inputs that is functionally similar to HTML selecting. Okay.
Yes, exactly. What you're talking about, this is very interesting, is actually a menu button, right? A menu button can have there are different types of menu buttons. So you can have a navigation menu button, which is what we're most familiar with, right? Sort of like you have like a button, usually like an icon or something. You click it and you have a list of options, and clicking one of the options would trigger a navigation somewhere else. That's like the
That's a
classical
classic.
one, right? But you can also have a menu button that has,
Another menu button or
no, that
widget.
has inside of the options, there are like a set of options that you can select
So
from.
say a filter, okay? Like this
A
is something.
filter, exactly. A filter, that's exactly right. So we're not talking about an input that's a part of a form, right? So this in this case, it does like hold the value, but typically the selected value would be like inside the options and not on the trigger. So if you go to Radix, for example, the listener and the user, you can go to Radix UI website and look at what they call drop-down menu. I'll come back to that, to the decision of naming it this way, but you can look at their example. So they have essentially like
They got it
checkbox.
all. Yeah, the drop-down menu is also checkbox, also radio, also
Right.
navigation menu. It's combined.
Yes. Yes. So if you check the ARIA properties, you actually have like ARIA properties for like are something like checkbox menu item and like radio menu item, right? So like the difference is like that the trigger doesn't hold the value, like the doesn't hold like the selection, right? And
Gotcha, gotcha.
you can also mix
And a
them up.
combo
You can
box
have,
and a select must have show the value. That's like the difference.
I think so. I can be corrected otherwise, but my understanding is that yes, it does need to hold the value. And I think that like every example that you look through here, you'll see that the trigger actually holds the value. And you can really mix and match between, you can have like a list of like multi-select and a list of single select within like the same menu. Like you have here with the menu button, right? So like both of these items are like a list of checkboxes, right? Because
So
they
just for our
can both.
listeners, Roman is showing like the Radix UI drop-down menu component, and in it there are three sections to that menu. One has checkboxes like you mentioned, and the bottom one has like radio
Right.
selections, and the top has like
So like the top group, right? That's like, I think the name is like the I it's an items group, is actually an implementation of the like menu navigation pattern, right? Because clicking on this item which says new tab would
Open up,
usually like
yeah.
trigger, yeah, like trigger a navigation,
Trigger
but
navigation, it triggers something happening in the UI that changes your the user's not perspective, but users yeah, position but it's inside the app.
It's essentially like click this and go somewhere.
Right.
Right. And like the and there are two other groups, one of which has like a list of checkboxes essentially, meaning mm-hmm. that you can select more than one item, and the other one has a list of radio buttons, meaning that you can only select one of them, right? You can't have both of them selected,
mm-hmm.
right? So that's a menu button, that's a combo box, and a list box, right, is something different. It doesn't have a trigger. A list box doesn't have a trigger. You would typically see those types of things in like e-commerce sites, right? Where you have like a list of filters or something on mm-hmm. the side. That would be a list box, right?
But it does have a trigger. And when you kind of click it, it opens up the options, doesn't it?
No. Look at this example right here. You see this? No trigger. This
now I understand.
Is a list box.
So this is a fucking yeah, what Roman is showing me is just basically a scrollable list where you can select only one out of thing, but it is open. It's not like a select
exactly.
box where you kind of have something that opens up. It's already open and you just select it.
Right. You can even have something like this. I'm showing we basically have like two boxes next to each other that you can sort of like, you know, move between them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think like Ant Design has a component like this called like a splitter.
You're making this podcast become a something we might need to start screening, like doing a screen test. We're gonna go all Primogen and start like having green screens behind us and all kinds of sound effects. And
but
shit
you get
like
it.
That.
You get it, listeners. A list box does not have a trigger, meaning it's just a box rendered with options. Like there's no trigger that you click on to reveal that box. It's just a box. It has different, like, you know, variations, but if it has a trigger, it's not a list box. Now look at this. Look at this shit right here. You go to Headless UI, right?
Okay. Wait. I just want to know, at what point of rant are we? This is like first
this
quarter,
is
or
end.
This is the end.
This is
rant.
Like
okay.
the last. This is like the last quarter.
Okay.
Look how they call this. They call this a list box, right?
Yep.
And
this,
in parentheses.
What we're seeing is what Roman described before. However, in the parentheses, it says select.
Right, which is also wrong because the select, the native select, is an implementation of the combo box pattern, right? It's the native implementation of the combo box pattern. So calling there essentially what needs to be called a select only combo box, calling it a list box and in parentheses select, as I understand it, is wrong. And if you go to one of our great prophets, a man that I really, really value, right? Mm-hmm. Ryan Florence, that created Reach UI. If you go to his implementation of a select menu, a select only combo box, it is
it's a list box. You just selected list box and not select only, right?
I'm saying it's called list box, but it should be called select only combo box.
So
right?
It's back to the fact that naming shit is hard.
It's not about naming. It's about understanding.
It's about definitions.
It's about definitions. It's about what they wrote here in the spec. And even Radix that I've praised so much, right? If you go to,
their select.
You know what? If you go to their select, right? Which is fine. I'm fine with you calling it select, right? I'm fine with it. But if you click on the Aria design pattern here, where the fuck do they take you?
They take you to a list box. Amazing.
They take you to the list box pattern, which is wrong. And if you look at their menu button implementation, how do they call it? They call it a drop down. Why, Radix? We have a name.
Yeah.
We have a name, a standard name that has been defined by...
Don't cry, Roman. Don't
you know,
cry.
By W3C, the Standards Committee of the Web, has called this menu button.
Yeah,
why
but you know how it is.
You...
It's just...
I do know how it is.
There are too many standards.
But I'm saying, okay, the people have called this a drop down forever, and that's what pisses me off. Like, because our like design team call everything drop down,
right?
Combo box, menu button, every
they call
variation.
It a drop down. Yeah, same
they
thing.
Call it
every designer call for it, a good. Oh, they'll call it a drop down. I'm with you.
They
yeah.
call it a drop down, and the differences matter because they are different. Components.
Dude, this is your TED talk. Like, I really want to hear you dive deep and give a talk like this, or write a post about this. Because this, I agree, this is fucking annoying, right?
It's terrible, and I don't get how the greats, my heroes, how they got this wrong. Because it's like written.
Now, it's did like, they get this wrong, or did they make a conscious decision to kind of do this switch, right? Because maybe they think that is right. I don't know.
I feel like it's wrong. I feel like it's wrong because we all know at this point how like standards matter.
Right. So while you have this page open, so we're looking again at the Aria W3C. Patterns for Authoring Practice Guide. You look at the dialogue,
yes,
has modal and parentheses. And
which is fine.
It is fine on one hand, but I've had this discussion with the designer / UX expert, and he was saying, no, there's a difference between a model and a dialogue.
Right. And they tell you inside that there is a model dialogue example, meaning like a dialogue that is a model and a modal and an example that isn't a modal. So we're saying like a dialogue can be a modal, but it can also not be a modal. And it's also fine by me to have in parentheses the name that has formed, you know, organically over the years. Like, I'm okay with
they
you.
They should have pop-up too, because that's how designers also call that, right?
Whatever. Yes. I mean, I'm fine with that. But it should be in parentheses. This needs to be, like, in the Radix, like, how you name it, needs to be menu button, in parentheses, drop-down, right? That's how it needs to be.
This is kind of reminds me of kind of there's all these TikTok things that are kind of laughing at the languages and stuff. So there's this one guy who does this French kind of thing, and he does French and English, right? So there's this kind of French dude that's looking at the word what is so he looks at the word door, right? And he's like, okay, door. This is door, right? So like, yeah, that's door. And then for, that's four, right? Yeah. But then four is flower. And like, no, it's four, yeah. because it's four. And so right. what happens if you change the F to an H? Is it core? Like, no, it's hour. It's like all different meanings.
Absolutely.
And all different kind of things.
Absolutely. But I'm saying it's like critical how many hours of like how many hours were spent like on like miscommunication and confusion between designers and developers with developers And like, you know, I've had these conversations, dude. I've literally had this conversation with a developer today. Today, literally today, I've had this conversation where I explained like all this shit and like why she was like telling me like I need the select component to like support whatever, like multi-select or something. And then like digging into it, like you understand, like, or she would, or she said like the drop-down component, like she wanted to use like the menu component, you know?
Yeah, there's a lot of interchangeability between like definitions and
Yeah, and
confidentiality.
then you like you go a little deeper and you understand that she's what she's actually looking for is a combo box, you know? So I'm saying this is like imagine like the amount of people all around the world that like this affects, right? And like the wasted time all around the world just by not being like consistent and concise about like what is named what, you know, and like not even named about like understanding like the differences between these patterns, you know?
Yeah, I feel you. Well, anyway, dude, this rant has gone for a while, and right now, like, my house has become a full house. So if we don't want to have this recording filled up with all kinds of sounds from YouTube, with Mario and my kid going nuts here, I think we could call it
All
a
right, buddy. It was a
day.
pleasure.
But yeah, but I'm waiting for that talk, right? You got to write this down. You got to bring this out. It is an annoying kind of piece of thing in UI engineering, is the different naming.
I really hope like someone hears this episode and like calls me out on Twitter and explains why I'm an idiot, right? And I'm getting this wrong because
Calling
I
you an
feel
idiot is
like
always easy, right? No, but being an idiot,
I
I
really
would
hope
love
so.
also being called out an idiot just or wrong, that's fine. Just explain it. Why do we have so many names?
Right. No, I'm really hoping I'm getting this wrong because if I'm getting this right, like it like I don't understand why it's so difficult for us all to agree on these like three different components.
Yeah, why is so difficult? Like all these, like even the simplest things, like the most atomic pieces of the building blocks of the web are still super complicated. And that's why I
True.
never appreciate like people not understanding like the basics of HTML and all that, right? Because you think, oh, HTML is not a programming language, but it's still fucking complicated, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. All right, buddy, I'll let you go.
All right, man. Great. Finally recording another one. And we're gonna have a special very soon that you've agreed to do, but we're not gonna tell you what it is yet.
All
So
right.
follow for more info. And yeah, have a good one, bud.
All right. Cue the
Peace.
outro music.
Which we
Bye.
do not have. Ciao, ciao.